must not think that going about raising a home can be done without a vision. We all need a vision. It is a vision that moves us forward as far as our lives are concerned in Jesus Christ, without which there is a great tendency for us to drift aimlessly, not knowing where we are going, what to do. We need to capture this great vision. Perhaps this illustration that I took from an article will help us to understand why vision is so necessary. This was written by a person called Lim Anderson. Lim Anderson began to describe a real story in the early days of America. She said about a few hundred years ago, there was a shipload of travelers landed on the northeast coast of America. Their very first year, they actually established a town site. The second year, they decided to elect a town government. The third year, they planned to build a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. And the fourth year, they wanted to impeach their town government. Why? Because they felt that the public funds to build a road 5 miles to the westward into the wilderness will be a waste of money. Strange. These are the same people who had the vision to see 3,000 miles across an ocean and overcame the great hardship to get right there. And now, just a few years later, they could not even see the possibility of 5 miles towards the wilderness. Brothers and sisters, they have lost their pioneering vision. Today, vision is so vital because the scripture tells me where there is no vision, people perished. Where there is no vision, our family might collapse. If there is no vision, our society or nation will collapse. Government must have a vision for the nation, not for themselves. And that is exactly what we mean by saying we need a vision. Perhaps Acts chapter 2 will show us the importance in verse 17. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I can truly say, as a young grandfather today, when Sean and Stephanie had this little girl, Isabel, when she was born, I believe that her eyes, when it was opened, she would not properly grasp the visibility of whatever she could see. Her visions were a bit blurred. She could only identify with the smell. And all of us know, little child will gradually grow. As they grow, he or she grows, her eyes or his eyes will be able to capture the image with clarity. And not only that, he or she could also see beyond. Christians, likewise, when we came to know Jesus as a born-again believer and growing towards to become a new creation in Christ Jesus, I believe that our visibility at the initial stage was a little bit blur. Just like me, if I'm wearing specs, I can see you. But if I take my specs out, man, you guys are like coconut trees. I can't see the eyes, the nose. And this is exactly what a young believer will go through. They could only see vaguely what they are seeing in Christian world. But they need to grow. They need to become a new creation in order to have a clearer vision, a better visibility. Why? So that we mature in our understanding. Somebody say amen. Brothers and sisters, in order for us to capture that, we need to be found in the place of receptivity. In other words, I need to be in that place where I can receive a good reception. In order for me to capture the vision, I must be in the environment where I can easily capture the vision. One of the environment is Grove. The other environment is that we need to learn to have more time in prayer, more time in worshiping God. Worshiping God is not about just singing a few songs and then we finish, and that's all about our Christian ritual. That's not what God is saying. He's just saying, come and lift up my name, worship me. Because when we worship him, the presence of the Lord dwells. And the vision will be endowed or bestowed upon us. Vision, brothers and sisters, is what we need. It is a powerful principle in the kingdom of God. If you remember the story of Peter, he was praying in the upper room on the rooftop, and all of a sudden there was the vision of a blanket with all kinds of animals coming down. And the Lord said, eat it. He says, but Lord, as a Jewish, I can't eat this kind of animals. Even till today, there are some people who doesn't eat those kind of animals anyway. But he says, I can't eat. But the Lord says, whatsoever I give to you, they are good. Eat it. But the Lord was trying to get the attention of Peter. What was the attention for? To accept the Gentiles. That's what the vision was meant to be. Brothers and sisters, what I discovered is every vision that God gives motivates an action. And that is exactly what Peter had to get. He had to do something about that vision. He needs to go forth and receive and accept the Gentiles. Brothers and sisters, vision comes in many ways. But I just want you to understand very simple perspective of vision. Vision sometimes comes in a way of capturing an image. When I first went into the ministry way back in 1988, but before that, I had to go to Bible College of Malaysia, and that was in 85. Before I went there, I was struggling because my friends were all aiming for their secular career achievement, and I was just pondering, why shouldn't I be part of this whole race of becoming a successful career person rather than going into the ministry? But then the Lord was just impressing my heart, I need to go. And I asked the Lord for signs, not because I'm a man of great faith. I was a man of great doubts. That's why I was asking for signs, to assure myself this is what I need to do. And I asked the Lord, show me a sign. And the Lord gave me a vision. And that vision was not something from the sky. That vision was everyday, regular event. As I was walking toward my working place, I was working in the bank at that time. As I walking towards the bank, I had to make a few turns before I could go to the office. And as I was making a few turns, I told the Lord that morning, I said, give me an unusual event. And that day was the most unusual day. Every corners I made, there were handicapped people sitting at the corner, which there wasn't at all in the early months of my career. And that corner I went, another corner, there was another handicapped person. And then went another corner, there was another disabled person. And I was just looking and I said, Lord, this is really so unusual. And that was the vision that was impressed upon my spirit. And so there's another aspect, is a deep impression. We capture vision from the very deep impression that presses against our soul and communicate to our consciousness and say, this is what you need to do. This is what you must do. Starting and pioneering a church is not something that I saw the vision of a church coming down. And the Lord was saying, go. The impression says, go and do it. And the Lord says, I want you to rebuild the society. The word rebuilding was so strong and it keep coming. Rebuild the society, because the society is now covered with these distorted views of Christian of life and living. And the Lord says, rebuild it. So I took that very strong impression to go forth. Today's message, vision or revelation, is a very important aspect of your life, either to raise up your home, either to raise up your career, your business, or any aspects of your life today. Let me help you to see three important reasons why vision is so essential for all of us. Number one, vision offers direction. Vision offers direction. Brothers and sisters, prophetically, vision prepares you for your future. Vision provides you a course to a plan. Remember Jacob, he had a vision when he left Beersheba and set out for Haran. One very late evening when the sun was setting, he was tired. He decided to take a rest. He took a stone and put below his head and rested. And while he was resting, he actually saw the vision of a stairway from heaven to earth and angels of God ascending and descending. When that event was taking place, God spoke to Jacob and he said these words in Genesis 28 verse 14. He says, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And all of a sudden, when Jacob woke up from his sleep, he thought to himself, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He knew that place was an awesome place, and he called that place Bethel, the house of God. He had that vision, and the Lord gave him a clear direction what he ought to do. Way back in 1988, when the Lord challenged me to pioneer a church back in Malaysia, during the time I only had my wife, and my wife was expecting. There was Sean at the time, and all that we had was just a vision to go to that particular town in the south of Malaysia, and that was just next to Singapore. So I saw that town, and I did not want to start in the township. I wanted to start in that particular suburb. It's a new suburb where there were not many residents at that time. And I was told there was a man who started a church. Within a year, it closed down. So I took the courage. Someone said, Kelvin, it is crazy for you to go to Johor Bahru to start a church, because at that time, it was a very hard ground. But because of the vision that was so strongly impressed upon my heart to pioneer a church, and that was my very first experience. I came out from Bible school, a young graduate, not knowing much about ministry, but going around doing everything on the basis of trial and error, most of the time errors. So when I had to go through that, I went house to house, trying to do a little bit of survey, asking people, what do you think if there is a church? And the people said, yeah, some said okay, some said nah. And when I went out to do tracting, taking tracks, going house to house, putting into the post box, or trying to shake their gate, trying to get attention so that I can talk to them. And most of these nice residents always let go their dogs every time when I come. The dogs will go to the gate and bark at me so that I cannot talk. So that was their purpose. And what I've been there, I've gone through it. I had migraine in the afternoon sun, and I had to rest for a week. And my wife said, rest, don't do it. And after a week, I went again and do it. That was my pioneering days. To cut the whole story short, the vision offered me the direction. I went on, starting in a small shop house, right on the third floor. Gradually, it grew within 3 years, only 25 people. And I took that vision. I went straight to a two-shop lot with 30 people at the time. And the two-shop lot would probably take in 150 people. The capacity was such. I took the courage and went because the Lord told me very clearly, audibly, He says, I want you to take two shop lots. Lord, I don't have the money. Go and take two shop lots. He doesn't want to reason out with me. So I told my landlord, I said, do you know of anybody who had two shop lots? If you do, please let me know. A week later, somebody came to his shop and told him, hey, I got two shop lots. Anybody wants to rent from me, please let me know. So just 1 week. And I got the two shop lot, cost me about $4,000 in rental while I was paying $250 for the present place. And two of my leaders left me because say, this pastor is crazy. $250 rental. You should be enjoying yourself. Why pay $4,004? Brothers and sisters, the vision offered me a direction. It was then that I went and took the step of faith. Today, those who are from the same church as I do, they are here as students. The church today have bought their own property. I bought at $1.4 million. And right now, the property value has gone up to nearly $4 million. We have that building now. Now, I understand the church has grown a few hundred now, about 300 to 400 in English. In Chinese, about 200 plus. Brothers and sisters, vision will offer us a direction. Samuel, also a young boy, had a vision. Because the Bible tells me, during his time where there was a priest called Eli, and 1 Samuel 3 verse 1 says, in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. I pray today that we will take this vision to another level and ask the Lord to help us to bring about and cause a rippling effects over a greater movement. We saw vision that has come upon many lives, and two lives here that we could see, Joseph and Mary, were told in the vision that Herod is going to slaughter and kill the infants. And so Joseph and Mary took the vision seriously and went off to Egypt. And another person in the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 10 to 11, there was a Macedonian call. The Bible says, during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him and said, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. God gave the people the vision. If there is no vision, my brothers and sisters, there will be no direction. And when there is no direction, I'm afraid most people will live a confused life. Eventually, it will lead into despair. Very sadly, how many of you today would just wait for a bus? And the bus comes, and right on the top of the bus says, destination somewhere. Would you take that bus? Nobody wants to take a bus that says, destination somewhere. We all need to have a specific destination. Likewise, if you want to have a specific direction, we need to have a vision. Look at Proverbs 29:18. If people can't see what God is doing, which is if people do not have a vision, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what He reveals, they are most blessed. Yes, we need vision. We need vision to get to where God wants us to be. Where do you want your family to be? Where do you want yourself, your career, and every aspect of your life to be? If that is what you want to go there, and you believe this is the direction and the vision that God is leading you, then I believe, as much as you are clear with that vision, I believe you will reach that destination. The second reason why I said vision is important, because vision offers opportunity. If you can't see your vision or your visibility is not clear, you might miss your opportunity. And if there is this opportunity right in front of you, you probably can't see it. You don't even know it. How do you find a girlfriend? When the opportunity is there, hey, your eyes must be sharp, isn't it? Some people, they don't see it. They rub their eyes constantly. Say, is this the one? By the time they rub their eyes and say, is this the one? Gone. Opportunity gone. Now, Matthew chapter 6 strangely used these words in verse 22 to 23. He says this. Perhaps you will never hear this passage been preached in that manner, but I want to extract out and show you. He says this, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of lights. What Jesus was illustrating here is that sometimes we have the difficulty with our eyes, and we have to adjust our eyes onto a correct image. You understand what I'm saying? You screen your eye just to have some clarity, some visibility that you know this is the person. If you are not clear, you probably may not know who that person is. Am I right or not? What Jesus is saying, when the vision is clear, there is this radiant light of Christ shining into your soul. If our vision is constantly blurred and it's not there, we can see very clearly, there is no radiance of Christ's light shining into our hearts. We need a very clear vision. Why? The reason why is this. Our visual perceptions will affect our decision. I repeat, our visual perception will affect our decisions. Where do you get that? You see, friends, if you do not have a very clear visual perception of something, I'm afraid that you may make a lot of wrong decisions. Look at this man called Lot. He and his uncle Abraham had their own herdsmen, and they were doing fine, and all of a sudden they were growing, they were prospering, and that place is not sufficient for two of them, and they're all their herdsmen and manservants and maidservants and their families. So Lot decided to say, I will go to another place, where Abraham said, you go ahead and decide first, then after that I'll decide my own. So Lot, the Bible says, he saw a well-watered Sodom and Gomorrah. You see, a lot of times our visual perception was very carnal. We only look at the physical thing and say, wow, this is a great place because of that superb decoration, superb structures, superb situations in that environment. That's why I always tell people, don't be gullible by just looking at tall, dark, handsome, and very great, smooth talker. And you say, oh, this must be the one. Yeah, tomorrow, that's right. Oh, he's such a handsome looking guy. Because he talks so well. Come on, don't fall into that. How many women here would say, I married a man because he's good looking? Oh. Most of you said, I married a man because he's got a good heart. Amen? He got a very caring heart. Right or not? None of you. Oh, sad case. I got to pray for you now. Most of you women have decided, oh, I regret marrying him. I can understand Lala's problem, but it's all right. You know what I mean? It's okay. I'm sure it's redeemable. Redeemable. But don't fall into that. That's exactly what Lot did. He saw the place. It was beautiful. But he didn't know the community living in that place were horrible. They were a horrendous group of people. There were sexual activities taking place in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Bible tells me that they even wanted to have sex with an angel. Thank God the angels got no sex. But they want to have sex. Do you understand what I'm saying? He saw a well-watered place, but the whole place are full of corroded mind. How often do you perceive what you actually saw? Do you really understand what you actually saw? Let's learn from this man's example, Nehemiah. Nehemiah was told about the condition of Jerusalem. The wall was broken. He went and investigated the place. He saw the place was dilapidated. It was completely in ruin. But then when he looked at that, he saw an opportunity for him to do something glorious unto the Lord. We look at the situation, no way, no way, we can do anything. It's so bad, it's in ruin. Brothers and sisters, Nehemiah saw the ruined wall, but he saw an opportunity. He saw the broken wall, but he saw an opportunity. Brothers and sisters, when he went, the Bible tells me, as he was investigating, he said this word to the people, so that we will not be disgraced. And then he says, come on guys, let us rebuild the wall. And that's exactly what I said to church and churches. Look at the broken situation, but don't sit there and cry. But I believe we can do something. What is your perception? Joshua and Caleb saw the giants and he said, This must be it. God wants us to take this land. You see, friends, when you see big giant grapes, you must know this is a very fertile land. But for these guys, they saw the giants, they were paying attention on the difficulties. And when they saw the difficulties, they never see the opportunity. Brothers and sisters, how many of you today can truly tell me that you have a lot of your own difficulties? Would you sit down there and not do anything about it? I tell you honestly, when you see difficulties in your home, in the place where you're working, remember, it is your opportunity to do something. And that's exactly what I want to challenge you for. Joshua and Caleb saw the giants, and therefore he saw the opportunity. God's vision will provide us the opportunity. When I see the church small, I see the opportunity to grow. I see the opportunity to become very personal in relationship with people. I see the church is not the gathering of numbers. I see the church as the gathering of individuals. We need to see from that perspective and help one another to grow in the likeness of Christ. And lastly, vision offers disclosure. Vision discloses the future by speaking of a course of action that we should take. Sometimes in the vision, God provides us a warning, just like Joseph and Mary. Sometimes in the vision, God provides us an event that we need to pray for. Sometimes a vision is given to us that we must take some action and trust the Lord. This is what it means. God discloses vision to build faith, to create hope and help us to trust in Him during trying times. I believe God has shown us the Bible about people who had this vision and discloses the situation before them and brought them to a greater height of revival. For instance, brothers and sisters, this is the man that we always been talking about in our Bible study. His name is Paul. We study the book of Ephesians. Paul, in the book of Acts chapter 18, tells me that he was brought into the city of Corinth. And he started his ministry there, trying to minister to the people. Initially, he was very much challenged and opposed by the religious group. However, the opposition went further than that and led to a stage of a critical mass. Somehow, Luke described how heinous the situation was. This particular event triggered a turning point for Paul. And in his ministry, he literally shook his garment against and in front of his enemies. He concluded, God is now leading me to focus on the Gentiles. And the Lord gave him a vision after that and told him not to be afraid, but keep on preaching. This is what the Lord said literally. I am with you, and no man will attack you to harm you. When that word was received with a strong vision that impressed upon him, brothers and sisters, if you read the whole event, you will discover that the Corinthian church had a revival. It started to explode, and the ministry was extended to the Gentiles. You know something? That vision discloses a very important aspect for Paul to do. He was not guided by fear. And I pray today that you will not allow fear to guide your decisions and your life. Sometimes we say, I'm afraid what my relatives may think about me. I'm afraid that my friend may say something about this. I'm afraid people may laugh at me. I'm afraid that people may think it is foolish. I'm afraid. And there's always a reason for that fear. And every time we make a decision, very much governed by that fear. I'm afraid. We have lost the fighting spirit despite the vision that God has given to us. Nehemiah, once again, I want to tell you, he faced the opposition. He knew that this Tobias, Sambalat, and Geshem were all there ready to stop them, hinder them, impede all their progress. And the opposition was coming hard on them. But Nehemiah owns constantly remember, we must not be disgraced as a people of God. So he encouraged the people and said, come on guys, let God strengthen your hands. Come on, guys. Some of you hold the clubs and whatever instrument you have, while the others will work on it. Some will watch, some will work. And he planned out and strategized his whole administration simply because he said, don't let our city be in disgrace. Brothers and sisters, Nehemiah saw the vision and he knew that the hand of God will overcome them. And so he did. God discloses the vision and he was not guided by fear. Brothers and sisters, in the ministry that I have been in for a number of years, I discovered there are people that God put them before me. I had all these young kids back home in Malaysia at that time. This young boy was only 8 years old. He was my first convert. When I was preaching, there were only 5 people in my church. That was the very first, second week of my pioneering days. The very second week when this young boy came with his mother, I only preached a very short sermon. And this 8-year-old boy, chubby-looking kid, came up to the front and gave his life to the Lord. And he was the first one. Why I say the first one? Because the mother followed him after. And this young boy had no father at the time. And I be with him, bring him out to this Kentucky Fried Chicken, constantly eating French fries, and he gets fatter, of course. He eats. Talk with him, counsel him, 8-year-old boy, no father figure for him. Mother had some little bit struggles and difficulties with him when he was a kid. After playing with him, talk with him, counsel him, he grew up. And I saw this young boy and I said, this young boy is a very smart kid. All I asked the Lord, Lord, help this boy to be groomed up the way you want him to be groomed up. Today, he's about 30 years old. In fact, he is actually. He just finished his PhD in Singapore. He's lecturing. And this young boy had a young family, two kids. And I just visited him not long ago, had lunch with him, and we had a good time chatting about the past. And this time around, he brought me out and gave me French fries instead of me giving him French fries. I said, thank God, those days the French fries was cheaper. This one was a bit more expensive. But more importantly, I know that he's not only attending a church, but he wants to serve the Lord, and he's a great teacher. He teaches the Bible in my previous church in back home in JB, and he was teaching the book of Acts. And I saw young kids like that begin to grow when we start grooming them up. It takes time. It takes a process. And there were a few others. I'm sure Chris and Steph would attest to that. Now they have grown up. They have taken up position, becoming youth leader, young adult leaders. And we begin to see all this growth taking place in individual lives. I pray today that there will be people that God can help raise up again. God can help raise up again. Strongly that God is disclosing from that vision that these young kids, in which a lot of people may think is a waste of time. But I honestly tell you, it's never a waste of time when you see lives that are wanting to grow. My philosophy is very simple. When I see God's hand upon them and I say these guys can be raised up, my purpose is to raise these people up for their own future. Nothing to do with me. It's for their own future. Because when they grow up, their future with their own family, you know, their children, their wives, they will grow and flourish for the rest of their lives. That's exactly what I look for. I believe in sowing the seed that will build steady structures in their own hearts that they can become men and women for the future. And that's exactly what I believe in. I saw that in the Bible. Paul saw Timothy and Paul saw Titus. He chose Silas instead of Mark. He saw the necessity to pick those individuals and raise them up unto the glory of God. Yes, there will be challenges. There will be stubbornness. There will be difficulties. But at the end of the day, God discloses in the vision that this guy, this boy, can be raised up. And I will put my hand and raise them up to make sure that they grow in the right way and the right path. Restore them back with a sense of hope once again, helping them to build their lives. And so God gave many of these lives a lot of turning points. And when I talk about turning points, I remember Peter. He denied Christ, and one day the turning point came. The power of the Holy Spirit came. His life was never the same. I believe all of us need that turning point in order to have a greater level of faith. Brothers and sisters, the magnitude of the vision of God can be achieved only by His resources and His ability, not by your own. Too often we lose sight of the original vision. So what happened? We settle for a smaller and more manageable goals. I believe God has given you and I vision that is so big that require you to stretch. But remember, I want to caution you, never think that this vision is about you. This vision is about Him through you. And God wants to do that. If we do not want to accept this original vision that is so huge, then a lot of us will settle for smaller and manageable goals. And what happens is we will go circle with our wagons and we will always indulge into a survival mode. How many of us are ready to go beyond? You need the vision. And vision will come when you have a deeper relationship with the one who provides the vision. Your fellowship with God is so vital so that He will provide you the foresight of what needs to be done. Brothers and sisters, it is all about vision. Vision is going to give you the experience. It's going to give you the experience for direction, opportunity, and disclosure. My conclusion to this matter is this. Some of us let these great dreams and vision die off, while others nourished and protect the vision. I will be the latter group of people, the one who believes in nourishing, the one who believes in protecting the vision. What is your original vision that you first came to the house of God? You say, Pastor, I first came because I wanted to grow as a disciple for Jesus. Is the vision still on? Some of you say, I have a vision that God will raise me up to be an instrument of blessings to other people. If that is that vision, will you seal up that vision under the blood of Christ? I pray that this vision will come. And I want you to nourish that vision. I want you to protect that vision. I want you to allow God to do something in your life to help you to escalate and go beyond. Because that vision is not to limit you. God's vision is always to expand you. Somebody say amen. Not in any case in the Bible that vision of God given to us to limit us where we are. No, He wants us to expand. And that's exactly what the vision of God is all about. Remember, God's vision is to take you to another level of faith. And somebody say amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.